Hi everyone. Wow, it looks a lot different from this angle. I've been on that side of this quite a few times. My name is Atlee Hunter. I'm a Windows Phone Development MVP. I've built a couple of apps here and there, and I'm here just to talk to you a little bit about the mobile initiative with Windows Phone, and how interesting and easy it is for developers to get started and get going. So what we're going to talk about here is basically the phone and for developers. You guys are all developers here. How many people here have written an app for the phone yet? We got a few? Cool. How many people have got an idea for an app? Yeah? How many people have got an idea for an app, but they just haven't gotten started because they haven't found the time yet? Okay. Well, it's time. So we're also going to talk about Metro and the application architecture a little bit. And we're going to talk about what it means to you as a developer. And what you need to do. So we'll talk about what is next, now what. So since this is mobile, I will be walking back and forth because I have to do my demos up there. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off with a look at the phone. One of the nice things about Windows Phone is it's not your same architecture. It's not the same look that all the other platforms have. It's not your same old round icons. Little complex pictures, but it's very fast. It's fast both in how the phone operates, how the applications function, as well as how the users get to use it, because it does supply a lot more information. It's got a simple, clear, and effective design, and it gives you info at a glance. So one of the things that you're going to want to think about while you're developing your apps is, how can I give the users more info without making it look cluttered, but also give them info right from the very start to drive them back into my application. One of the nice things is that it's designed to make the best out of the user experience and to make it really easy and fluid for the user to get the information they want quickly and easily. So what we're going to do is we're going to look here at my laptop here. If we switch over. I've got the emulator running here. And just give me 1 second. There we go. There we go. That's a great picture, eh? Okay, so one of the nice things you'll notice is that on the Windows Phone, I've got the emulator running here just because we couldn't get a top-down view of the phone. But if you can see, an awful lot from those pictures. The picture area that you've got to describe your application is bigger than you have on all the other platforms. So you actually have more room to give the user something to indicate what it is your application does, and also to get them to want to click into your application. One of the really nice things is that with a couple of lines of code, you can set up a live tile that, when activated and used, will give your users more information and drive them back into the use of your app. And for some reason, my laptop's being incredibly slow. There we go. Okay, so we're going to just close that and go back to it. And now you'll see that now I have a live tile. I've got no outstanding tasks today. The other nice thing is you can set up a background tile, so that tile will flip. And that flipping mechanism is done asynchronously and without at a random rate. So there's no way to predict how often it's going to flip per minute. And what that does is it helps to increase the ability for you to have the user's attention drawn to your app. Okay? So used properly, that can be a very, very effective tool. I put it on that app because I wanted to be able to make sure that I was able to not forget about what I had left to do today and what was overdue. So basically, you can see that very easily and very effectively, and with just with the design, the basic design of the tiles on the phone itself, you get a really, really effective tool for driving user experience, driving the adoption of your application, and getting people into your application over and over again. So one of the nice things is, and one of the things you want to remember is, you want to be intuitive. Okay, you cannot be too predictable with your mobile app design. Okay, make it something that the user just gets. One of the things that I like to do is I take my apps out and I hand them to a user, someone that I know is not a developer, someone who I think is going to be more easily stumped if I've made it complicated at all. And if they ask me any questions, I pretty much figure that I'm not done yet. I try to make it so just obvious and plain that you can pick it up and just use it, and that's what you're trying to aim for. So you try to make the simplicity of the design work for you, as well as the obvious nature of your application's use case. Now, one of the nicest things about the phone, how many people here program for any other platforms before, like the old platforms, Windows Mobile, Palm, any of the old ones? I'm really ancient, so I have. One of the nice things about this is it's got a protected ecosystem, which means that your app is the only thing that can access the data for your app. Your app does not access other apps' data unless you've shared it somewhere in the cloud and that app is sharing as well. So you have to go outside of the phone's basic scope in order to share data, which is really great in a lot of cases. I will admit there's been a couple cases where I wish I could just pass information from one of my apps to the other, but there's always ways to work around it. But it's usually off-device. What this does give you, though, it gives you the ability to know that your application's data is secure and stable. You don't have to worry about any other application's ability to change your data or to modify it or corrupt it. And that gives you a very, very stable and even ecosystem to work with, which is a really fantastic change from what used to be available. Now, you have more information at a glance. Okay, you have, with the ability of live tiles and the ability of some of the controls like panorama and the pivot tables, you have the ability to really choose what kind of interaction, what kind of experience you want to give the users. And this is a really, really nice, again, it's a nice change from what used to be available on the mobile platforms. Now, how many people here have programmed on any other? Mobile OS, iOS, Android. Anybody here programmed on Windows Phone or ASP.NET? Okay. I'm incredibly spoiled because I love Visual Studio. I've used all of the other tools, and I can say basically without even slightly skipping a beat that the tools that come for the phone are the best ones available for any platform right now. They're robust. They're easy to use, they're informative, you have IntelliSense, you have all of the things in the tools that you're used to using for ASP.NET, for your WinForm apps, are available for the phone. And it's just a much, much more pleasant experience, and it really helps to drive much faster development and much easier testing. And inspiring users. Just like with Windows 8, and this is one of the things that you're going to see throughout this, is that there's an awful lot of similarity between Windows 8 and Windows Phone. A lot of the cases where you're building an application, you can be looking at it and decide whether maybe a smaller subset of that application would work well on the phone. You will have the ability to move that to the phone very, very quickly and very effectively, depending on your architecture and your application choosing. Now, inspiring the users is the goal for everything right now. The paradigm has shifted for software development. Software is very, very readily available. There is a lot of it out there. And so we have to look at how do we inspire our users? How can we drive our adoption? How do we integrate and intrigue people and keep them into the application and get them coming back again and again? So, on the phone, you can use live tiles, background tasks, and in remotely, you can use push notification. So you have the ability to push information to the user's phone to get them interested or to give them more information or to say, hey, listen, this is here and it's available now. Go back to the app and you can get more information. So Windows Phone app execution is very similar to the model that you have for Win 8. If you look at the application lifecycle, it'll look very, very similar, even though my display of it is a little different than his, than Barry's was. You'll see that your application starts off running, and then if the user is deactivated by moving it off focus, or opening up another app, or clicking on a pop-up that's come up, or taking a phone call, the application is automatically state saved. So what that does is it basically holds in memory a tiny footprint of the information necessary to resume your application quickly and effectively exactly where it was. Okay? It is dormant at that time, and all threads and resources have been suspended. All timers have been suspended, and the resources are detached. So your phone is using no real resources except for a very tiny memory footprint, which, coincidentally, is exactly the way it's being done in Windows 8. This is called fast application switching, because what happens is when your application comes back up and is reactivated, you have a state-preserved flag that basically tells you that the instance has been preserved. You can check for that when your application is brought back up, so you can see whether you need to reload a full start or whether your application is just going to come back exactly where it was. Okay, and that's called fast app resume. Okay, there also is the methodology and the recommendation to tombstone your data so that if for some reason you do get pushed off that stack, because similar to Windows 8, Windows Phone does have a finite stack, and if the stack does get filled, your application will get pushed off that stack, and it will be up to you to decide at that point, and you're not notified, so at the point when it's gone dormant, you are notified that it's going dormant. At that point, you decide in your application use case whether it's imperative to tombstone that information or not. At that point, you can bring the application, when the application is activated and brought back, if the preserved flag is false, you can then decide to load your tombstone data. Okay, and that's the data that you've held basically to hold the state on the isolated storage for the application. And basically then your application is brought back and is running. So what this does is it helps the system to focus on the app that's in the foreground so that there is a expected and consistent user experience for the application that's running. The user will be more likely to enjoy your application if other applications are not taking up resources in the background unnecessarily. Inactive apps have absolutely no impact on battery life or any of the other resources used by the application except for that small memory footprint that's been set aside for that stack. Okay, it also gives you the ability to flip between apps instantly. The resume is almost instantaneous, it's almost imperceptible. Now, the other nice thing is you don't have to code anything for that to happen. That's just part of the system. That's part of the OS, and it's part of the development compile library. So one of the big things you do have to do, though, is remember to tombstone any important data, because if you don't, then that data won't come back if the application has been pushed off the stack. So with Windows 8, the exact same things apply to Windows Phone. These applications are terminated whether if the system needs more resources, a user switch has occurred, or the system is shut down, or your applications crash. Any of these scenarios will cause it to be pushed off the stack. Now, when your application is going dormant, what you do have is you have a 10-second window to complete that dormancy or that shutdown. If not, your application is considered non-functioning and will be terminated by the operating system. So coding for suspend and resume is very, very simple. There's an application launching, which is basically when you first start up the application. And similarly, there's an application closing when the application is being exited and turned off. The application activated and deactivated are the two that are used in fast application switching. So if the application's been popped out of before the application's normal termination would happen, the application deactivated event is fired. And that's the point where you would have to look at exactly what you have to do at that stage. So one of the things, though, is that you do not frantically try to save all your data at that point. Your application data should be saved as data is edited and added. This will allow you to have a better opportunity and a much more consistent user experience, and to make sure that you always meet that 10-second deactivation rule. Now, at the point of deactivation, you're basically just saving state of where you are, what page they're on, where the lists are, where the dropdowns have been what points the dropdowns have chosen to, just general things like that. Now, what you want to do, though, is that will allow you that when the user comes back to the application, you can bring them back quickly and effectively without a lot of load wait time. And in the fast application resume, it happens instantaneously, but in tombstoning, there is a little bit more that you have to consider with that. So you do want to make sure that when you're tombstoning your state, that you don't just tombstone everything that's going on, you tombstone the state. Now, like I said, suspended application is launched by the user coming back. You have nothing to do. The application and the operating system just handle it on their own. So with the Metro UI, you'll see a lot of similarities between the Metro UI on the phone and the Metro UI on Windows 8. The controls are very similar to the desktop, and less is more. You have very little real estate. You have to learn to you have to really think about it and learn how to use it effectively and clearly to get all the information out there that you want without actually boggling the user's eyes. which, how many people have had an application that they basically uninstalled because it was just too complex looking? It was just too hard to look at after a while. I know that there's quite a few of them out there, and I've seen a few myself. I've even made one or two in the past. So be intuitive and predictive. You can never be too predictive. I can't stress that enough. I have applications that, the ones that I have that are the most popular and get downloaded the most are the ones that were ridiculously simple. I found that out of my applications, if I spend a long time writing the application, chances are it gets downloaded less often, almost in a proportionate ratio. So don't overthink it. Get the application out there. Think about the user. Don't think about what you're trying to show the user. Think about what the user wants to see. Okay? Sometimes what we're doing is we're creating this huge monolithic beast, and the user only wants one or two pieces of information. So think about that. Less is more. Make sure that you're very predictive and that all of the elements are just where people would expect them to be. And also, one of the other things you can't stress enough, too, is users hate to enter data on the go. So be creative. Figure out ways to come up with things. Use gestures. Use just about anything you can think of to try and bring the data in and try and be as predictive with the data as you can to help reduce the amount of user data that they're putting in. Users will thank you for it later. So, coding for Windows Phone. One of the nice things about the Windows Phone and writing code for it is that it's just .NET. It's what we're already using, okay? How many people here are .NET programmers? Almost all of you, okay? Except for maybe the ones that are and just didn't put up their hand. anyways. It's all the same tools. You already know how to program for the phone. You really do. It's a matter of learning new libraries. How many people do ASP.NET? Okay, so you're more than halfway there. Okay, it's being used to an XML-based UI and C# in the back end. Very similar to what you do on a day-to-day basis. Again, the same tools. The tools are fantastic. Okay, it's a fast development experience. You can get things out very quickly. I built 3 apps on Saturday, and gave a 3-hour lecture, and watch Avengers. So you can do an awful lot with Visual Studio and the phone tools. The languages are evolved. This is C#. It's VB. It's what you know. It's how you know it, and it's just more of it. And the third-party vendors are fantastic. How many people here use Telerik tools? Right? Okay, Telerik's got a fantastic toolkit for Windows Phone. Okay? Fantastic tools. I use them in a lot of my apps, and they make the experience very robust, very rich. They've got excellent load times. They're definitely worth taking a look at. Also, you can hit the ground running, okay? This is basically the fastest development experience transfer you're going to have for any of the platforms. If you're programming for any .NET applications or are doing any .NET development right now, you will hit the ground running faster than you will with any other mobile platform right now. You really will. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a really, really simple little demo. I'm going to take a really, really dead simple ASP.NET page and I convert it to a Windows Phone page in less than 2 minutes. So, oh, cool. Okay, so I've got a little page here that I call Cool Sites, okay? And these are just sites I want to remember. And it's just, it's really dumb. It's a simple little XML read. Okay, I'm reading XML site list out of a file. And I've basically, I'll show you exactly what I've got here. I've got my XML sites. I've got a class that holds the sites and the information and has the loading. And then on the default page, I've got loading it and playing it up, putting it on the page. Now, this isn't that complicated, but just to give you an idea of how much of this you can reuse on the phone, we're going to go in and we're going to add a new project, Windows Phone application. Let's call this Cool Sites for Phone, target 7.1. Okay, now let's see. I'm going to copy this, and I'm going to copy this into there, and I've got this. Now, yeah, I've got my XML there. I've got my sites there. Now, I don't need the web hosting, so I'm going to comment that out. I do need to add a reference for link, because I don't have link in the phone by default. There we go. And I need to do, actually on my main page, I'm going to put in a text block, okay, because I need to have somewhere to put the data. Text block, and I'm going to name it, response. And okay, so I've got the text block there that I can put it in, and in my code behind. Now, one thing is, since I'm referring to a control on the page, I have to put in an event handler for loaded, because I need to make sure that the control actually exists before I start writing to it. Okay, and I'm going to go to my default.aspx page. I'm going to copy this over here. And, well, that string is not going to work because I don't need BRs. I need to change these to and response.write's not going to work either, so why don't we just... I'm just leaving those there so you can see how much we actually had to change. I'm going to call this response text block dot text plus equals. And... oh yeah, hosting environment doesn't exist either. I've got to change my name here too. So I got to change that name, and I've got to take that slash off of there. And there we go. So I changed about 5 lines of code. And well, it also helps if I actually start the right project. Let's see now. That. There we go. Sorry about that. Okay, so we'll start up the phone. And there's my page with my developer. Okay, so I changed 5 lines of code in less than 2 minutes. I took that ASP.NET code and put it directly into Windows Phone. So, like I said, this is stuff you already know. This is not I have to sit and figure it out for days and days and days. This is go and take some code libraries you already have, plop them into the phone and see how many changes you need to make. A lot of times, you don't have to make that many. So basically what we saw is the phone is .NET. Okay, it's all .NET. It's Silverlight. How many people here do any Silverlight? Have any Silverlight? So you got a few? How many people are interested in learning Silverlight? How many people think Silverlight's gone? Okay. Okay, so then tell me what the difference is between Silverlight and XAML with C# behind, which is what Windows 8 is, which is what Windows Phone is. Right? Personally, I don't think Silverlight's really gone. I think the name has changed. They're changing it to WinRT and the phone and WinRT. So one of the nice things, like I said, is make use of your existing code libraries, your knowledge, and you get to play with the same tools you already love. So faster time to market, okay? That's one of the beautiful things. I have done the exact same application on all three platforms and had stunning differences. We're talking weeks on iOS, a couple of weeks on Android, and a couple of days on Windows Phone. So from multiple weeks to a couple of days difference, okay? Now, depending on the use case, there will be changes to that. But I have not talked to one other iOS or Android developer that doesn't agree with me that, for the most part, the development is much quicker on Windows Phone. So bigger support system. You have a huge support system. You have Coplex, Stack Overflow. You have great support at the marketplace. And there's just so many samples out there. A lot of the samples you find out there for other projects that are not necessarily phone work fine for phone. And again, you get to use what you already know, and you get to focus. You really need to focus on your UI. Okay, you have to focus on the use case. We've got to remember that when it comes to mobile software, both for Windows 8 and for Windows Phone, we're building for the user. We're not building for ourselves. When I started writing software, we used to write software and then tell users how to use it. Now, we write software and the users tell us how they want to use it and how they're going to use it and if they're going to use it. I wrote an application a little while back that basically takes text and flips it upside down and lets you text it out to people upside down. Just as a little gag, someone had seen something on my Twitter feed and said, hey, how'd you do that? So I wrote it during my lunch hour and I sent it out. Turns out that I have thousands of teenagers that are using it to communicate to each other so that they can talk to each other without people around them knowing that they're talking about them. So the users will tell you how they're going to use your application. So that's something you've got to think about, and that's something you've got to look at.